Welcome to the Business Animal Podcast. Saddle up for a gallop to the top of the animal industry, where you'll learn how to tame your wild business beast with tips, techniques, and tools that will take overwhelm to obedience school and have you wagging your tail with joy.
Hi there, business animals. I'm Kim Beer, and I brought a vision.
And I'm Betsy Bird, and I brought a checklist.
I love that, Betsy. It's true of both of us.
I am so checklist-oriented. It's ridiculous.
You know what? I do have checklists myself, but they're more of a suggestion rather than something else. They're just a way for me to track my vision, I guess is how you might say that. They're a vision tracking system.
You know, before we get too far into this, we should also mention, in case anybody did not listen to the last episode, my voice is still kind of mangled. Oh. You would like to know what happened, go listen to last week's episode or last episode posted, and you'll hear about what's going on with my voice. But it is better. But, you know, work with us.
Yeah, you're still just a touch squeaky.
Yeah,
it's healing, though. It's actually so much better improved than. But it's been a month. That's a really long time.
It's been a month.
I have to say, I'm traveling next week. I'm going to Arizona with our friends, Kara and Phyllis, and I am dreading the airplane ick. So I have been very isolated this winter, so I don't think I've been subjected to a lot of germs, and I'm very concerned about the airplane germs, I have to say.
I have that same feeling about being on an airplane these days, because I feel like there's so many germs floating around right now between flu and COVID and RSV and stuff that I probably would get anything. But luckily, the voice thing, it doesn't hurt. It just sounds a little weird. A little squeaky.
Well, that's good news. And speaking of crowded places, our episode today is how to stand out in a crowded local market. Wow, that was a segue. You love that?
That was a segue.
That was a segue you can ride.
How to stand out in a crowded market like an airport.
Like an airport. Yes, like an airport. So our big three for today is to present this subject to you in three things I think you can do to help you stand out in that crowded market. One is to understand your value proposition, which we're going to explain what that is. If you're going, I don't know what my value proposition is, hold on to your panties. We're going to get there. And then brand and vibe, like being able to establish very clearly what your brand and vibe is. And then understanding your understanding your specific niche / customer persona is the third part of what we are going to talk about today. So, Betsy, what do you think about value proposition?
Well, value proposition is one of those really complicated sounding words that really, when you get down to it, is not that complicated. It's really just what makes you different and what makes people choose you when there are cheaper, faster, or closer options to them. So what is it that makes you stand out and different? And it, particularly for those of you who have, obviously, local businesses, local-based businesses, it really does matter in context, because it only matters if you're solving a problem locally that other people don't solve for their clients. So what's going to make you stand out? At least that's how I think of it. What makes me different from other photographers in this market?
I teach this specific thing as part of a class I do around the business model canvas. And the business model canvas, by the way, if you Google that, you will find a boatload of information on the business model canvas. Think of it as a visual way of doing business planning. And I'll link to the book and the authors and all of those kind of things. There's actually two books involved. There's one about building the business model canvas. And then there's another whole book dedicated to value propositions. And I really think they're very good reading for all entrepreneurs. I feel like I'm the book suggester on this podcast, but I definitely highly recommend both of them. You can check them out at your local library. I don't know if you need to invest in them and keep them on your bookshelf, but having a peek at them and doing a little bit of research would be given. But the value proposition, it really helps business owners understand what they're bringing to the table for their customers. And it's answered in a few questions. And honestly, in the appearance of it, it is a circle and a square. And the circle represents the customer and the square represents the business. And in the circle, it's divided into three sections. One section asks you, what is that customer's job? What are they trying to get done in a day? Then the other two parts of the circle are like, what's getting in their way? And what do they really want to achieve? And then if you move over to the square, which is oddly on the left-hand side of the page, not the right, so you actually work this backwards from the right to the left, is what do you as a business offer as a pain reliever? And what do you offer as a gain creator? And then how can you structure products and services to meet those goals for your customer? And the thing I love about this is it's customer first. And I think when we start a business, we're in it for us. That's why we become entrepreneurs, is to solve a problem for ourselves. But once we transition into opening that open sign on the front door of our business, whether that's virtual or in reality, or whether it's just handing out business cards, it has to switch to be customer first. And that's what we're trying to do here. And in answering that question about what job is your customer trying to get done, that's usually the most sticky point for people when they work through the value proposition canvas. And the best way to think about that is, what is your customer trying to do? So in your case, like as an equine photographer, they're trying to put memories that they're going to be able to hold of their horse and their relationship with their horse. They're celebrating that relationship. They want to have beautiful art for their home. They want to have a really positive experience with a photographer. They want to feel good about themselves. Those are all jobs that they're trying to get done. What gets in their way is all of the things that you are able to fix in that proposition. And at the end, your pain relievers and gain creators as a business owner for whatever job that your customer is trying to do, that is your value proposition. And that's what you take into everything you do in your marketing, because that is what is going to differentiate you from everybody else in that market. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And like in the example that you gave right there, I would say there are plenty of equine photographers in my market that do the same thing to some extent that I do. They produce beautiful pictures of horses and their people and everything. What makes me different is I'm the only one who literally all clients get artwork. Like, yeah, that's my standard thing. Also, I think it is related in my case to like the experience and the personality that they get. And this is a really good example because you have photographers who their idea is they want to turn something around super fast. They want it to be an extra quick experience, really easy to, you know, sign up. Maybe you don't have to talk to them on the phone before you book your appointment or whatever. They're fast, friendly service with a smile type thing. But there's other photographers more like me who have an entire thing. I do a lot of hand-holding with my clients. My client process is slow. I spend a lot of time with every single client. And the truth is there are people out there in our sandboxes who want to work with one type of photographer and others who want to work with another type of photographer. And there's plenty of clients out there for whatever you want to do. But if you don't articulate clearly what it is you do, they can't find you.
Yeah, if you don't translate the value of working specifically with you. And part of the way that you do that is through your brand, which is our second of our big three. Your brand is an experience. It's not just a logo. So many of us get stuck on it's the graphics on our website, the sign on the door, the tagline underneath our business name. And brand is so much more than that. It actually is the experience. And I will live and die on the hill that you only craft the first part of your brand. Actually, you craft it in relationship with your customer. It's what grows out of your relationship between what you offer and how your customer responds. And what meets in the middle between the two of you is your brand. You know, that adage about love, speaking of that, it's nearly close to Valentine's Day as we're recording this, but you have two people and love is what's created in the relationship with them. In a business relationship, the brand is what's created between the business and the customer and the consumer. And so that unique experience that you bring to the table is the differentiator that goes beyond the value proposition to offer the next level of true support.
I'm going to die on my own little hill over here with branding and say that your branding should repel as much as it attracts. Mm-hmm. To me, that is like the key thing, is that I want to repel the wrong people as much as I attract the right people. Mainly because I'm a busy girl and I don't have a lot of spare time. So I want each interaction that I have with clients to be productive. I don't want to waste my time talking to people who are never going to hire me. Yeah. So brands, you want them to repel as much as they attract. And if you're a solopreneur like I am, that really can be an extension. Your brand is basically an extension of you and your values and your personality and your stuff that's going out there into it. So, you know, when it comes to branding, at least for solopreneurs, I always say start with you and what it is that you stand for and what you vibe with. And that's a good place to start when it comes to branding.
It is a great place to start. And I believe if we peek into the future, we have an episode coming up in the next episode of Business Animal. If you're sitting here listening and going, I don't have a brand. I don't know what you're talking about. I've got a business name and a tagline, but that's about the extent of it. We're going to help you out in the next episode. We're going to talk a bit about how do you even start to peel back those layers and start that relationship that's going to eventually build the brand that you have. And part of that too, in understanding it's the customer and your relationship that builds the brand, is understanding where you fit into the market and into the marketplace. And that means you're going to be looking at a specific niche and with inside that niche, a persona of your ideal customer. People think of niche oftentimes as a prison cell that they're stuck inside. If I pick a niche, I'm going to be corner rolled over here and I don't even know where they would find the key. Don't think of it that way. I want to give you a better metaphor. So we're all animal people around here. Think of this as a lovely corral with an open gate, a clear, inviting, accommodating, safe, trustworthy, well-maintained. And if you need to expand it, you can always expand it when needed. That's really what a niche is. It's creating a space that is absolutely perfect for a purpose. Now, inside that lovely corral, if you are training reining horses, the ground needs to be really well manicured and so you can stop safely and carefully. That doesn't preclude somebody that is in the dressage world coming in and riding in your arena. It's just not the most ideal situation for their horses, where they want a little bit harder footing for their horses to be able to perform their maneuvers. So think of building your niche in that aspect. You're building a space that is very welcoming for the exact right person, but you are not building this space at the exclusion of other people if they want to come in and give it a whirl. Did that metaphor make sense?
Well, I'm going to kind of say it in a simpler way, in that you're just saying, no, you're not saying that no one else can hire you. You're going to always have an outlier or two here and there. What you're saying is, this is who I'm best for. I'm best for reining horses, but that doesn't mean that dressage horse can't come over here too and play in my arena.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. I do want to talk about my favorite way to create personas. And Betsy and I had a little moment before this that gave me an even better way to do it. But I'm going to give you my traditional way first, and then we'll add the better way. When I teach persona to business owners, I do it using the trademark name of Barbie, because I think Barbie is something we all know exists, and we've all walked past a toy aisle with Barbie in it. Or if you want to replace Barbie with the superhero or whatever, but Barbie always comes in her package with her accessories, and each Barbie has their own kind of brand and vibe. I remember when I was a kid, what was the other Barbie? There was the one that grew up, you could twist her arm and she would like grow up. And now her name escapes me.
I'm totally worthless when it comes to Barbie.
I know you didn't play with Barbies, you weirdo.
I'm pretty sure she had somebody named Skipper, but
that's it. Skipper. Skipper is the one that grew up. See, you knew more about Barbies than you thought.
I was like, I thought Skipper was like a little sister or something.
It is. It's a little sister. But yes, you twisted her arm and she grew up and got boobs and everything. It was a whole thing. And I, of course, dissected Skipper to see how that happened and concerned my mother beyond repair. So there's a piece of Kim trivia for you that will entertain you.
There's but a lot anywho, of serial killer.
Yeah, she was a slightly worried about that. But I'm like, I wanted to know how it worked. So anyway, I guess that's a thing. That's why I play with computers and such today. Anyway, off the topic, back on it. Barbie is a great way to consider building a persona. Think about, what would your customer, quote unquote, Barbie look like? What accessories would they have? What would come in the package? What would be the words that are above the package? And if we want to put a nicer twist on this for horse people in particular, think about your Briar horse. Briar horses are branded. I see named horses in Briar packages. And they come with all the accessories that go with their unique brand and vibe. And when you're aiming at a customer, it is much easier to think of them in the way as aiming at a persona customer, let's put it that way. It's much easier to think of them as real people where they have all of their accessories with them and the things that they do and have in life. Like we think about that reining horse person. If we think about the non-pro reiner, they're going to come with a pickup truck and they're going to come with a trailer and a trainer and they're going to come with a bob saddle and all of these kind of things that go along with them. Like their accessory kit would be pretty big for a non-pro reiner. Anyway, I'm off of that. What else do you have to say to add about personas?
Well, I think I would throw in there that with personas, a lot of it comes down to the behaviors versus the demographics of the personas. So
along
like the mindset and the decision-making style that a persona has, more along the psychographics. I mean, obviously for local-based businesses, geographically, you want clients that are in your area, obviously. But when you look at like demographics and psychographics, I always feel like psychographics outweigh demographics a little bit. I want to know, yes, it's nice to know income or how old they are or whatever. That'd be great. But to me, it matters much more what their mindset is when they think about, for example, their horse or their dog. Like, how do they feel about that dog? Because that's going to affect how much money they spend, where they're willing to spend it. Or is it like their dog is on a chain outside all the time or in the backyard all the time and they interact with it once a day? Or is that dog sleeping in their bed and eating the finest food and playing dress up and or doing all the dog sports? Or like, what exactly is it, how they feel about that dog? And that really does affect the persona that you're trying to attract, depending upon what clients you want to work with.
And also thinking about the transformation, right? Because everybody is looking for that transformation. Because remember back in the value proposition, we have all those jobs that the people are trying to do and the pains that they run into and the things that they want to create and what we do as business owners for pain relievers and gain creators. And if when we think of our persona, we think of as they are now, and then that transformed persona as well of how we affect that individual who comes into our business. So I think that's worth adding as well. What would be the next level that we add? So your customer persona probably has a gorgeous piece of art hanging in her home and is willing to show that off to whoever walks through the door.
Yes.
That's an amazing way to think about it.
Absolutely. My customer personas like to brag about their horses. The minute people walk in the door, or their dogs for that matter, they like to drag people into their living rooms and show them their artwork. And then they take them to their bedrooms and show them more artwork. Then they take them down the hall and show them the gallery walls.
I love it. That's what we're aiming for as business owners. And being able to stand out in that crowded marketplace is that experience, because that's what gets you the referrals. That's what gets you more people coming to your door, because the best source of your next new customer comes from the one that you just served. All right. So let's wrap this back up and talk about the three things we talked about in standing out in a crowded marketplace. Number one, definitely know your value proposition and know how to position that. Know your brand and your vibe and how that differentiates you from your competition. And then finally, get really familiar with your niche without worrying about being exclusive, and also loving the fact that your exclusiveness does tend to urge the wrong people out of your market. And then finally, creating that persona from both aspects of who they are now and the transformation down the line. Yay!
Yay.
Look at us go, Betsy. We did a good job with our time today.
I'm impressed that we managed to keep that as short and tight as we did.
I love it. I love
that
us growing as podcasters. Look at us growing as podcasters.
There you go.
Okay. Well, if you would like to know more about us, you can find our websites in the show notes. You can also visit thebusinessanimal.com to catch up on previous episodes, including that one that we did last time, to hear the whole story of how Betsy lost her voice. We look forward to connecting with you on social media and in other haunts where we might run into each other. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Business Animal. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you learned something today, leave us a review. To learn more, find us at thebusinessanimal.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep your business well-trained with The Business Animal.